Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You are now listening to the NYYST Podcast.
Welcome back. This is episode 211 of the NYYST podcast. I am your host, Christian, as always, joined by my co-host, Chris.
You.
And stat guy, Rye.
What up?
What's going on, fellas?
Subdued. Are you drunk this week, bro? Are you making it three in a row?
No, man. I'm sober.
Sober?
You're sober guy, Rye.
You're cleaning up? You're cleaning up your act?
Yeah, man, it was just getting to a point where, you know,
Ryan was drunk for two straight weeks.
Yeah, we're back.
I was thinking about popping a couple of Bud Light seltzers on the show today.
Popping a couple of doggies annies and a Bud Light.
But I went Monster instead because I need a little caffeine pick me up here.
I like that.
Recording at 7:45 on a Saturday evening, January 23rd, a week that saw nothing even remotely interesting happen in the world ever anywhere, right? Like we say, we don't like to get political on the show. We're not going to get political on the show, but I believe this is our first presidential inauguration as a collective unit, right?
Right. Any Republicans out there who are upset about Joe Biden, we have good news for you. If you're a Yankee fan, we talked about this not too long ago. If there's one good thing you want to take away from a Democrat being in office, again, if you don't support Democrats, right. If you do, you got a lot of things if you're a Yankee fan. But when's the last time we said the Yankees won a World Series?
Is it nine consecutive with a Democrat in the Oval Office?
No, because, because they didn't. George Bush was not in office when they won in 2000. Correct. Right.
But it's going back nine consecutive World Series that they've won. A Democrat has been in office.
Right.
It's since 1958, the Yankees have not won a World Series with a Republican president in the White House.
Okay, so now we have
most conservative bastards.
Well, you know how much I love Silver Linings Playbook, and you, Christian. I don't know about Rye. I think Rye likes it too.
Great movie, Philly movie.
I like to find silver linings. That's your silver lining right there. If anyone's upset about Biden being in office, we have a better chance that the Yankees win the World Series. There you go. Bada bing, bada boom.
So let me ask you this question.
Okay.
Grandpa Joe and Grandpa Larry?
Ooh, are they friends? Do they talk?
It's definitely a possibility.
Do they talk? Do they do crosswords together and talk about their strategy?
What do old people do together?
He's a Rothschild.
They actually conspired against Sonny Gray when he was here in New York. It's actually all coming out now. Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes,
it's true. Did I see a picture of Joe Biden at a Yankee spring training camp? I guess it would have been when President Obama was in office.
You must have.
Joe Biden.
You must have. He only showed up when they were in New York, though.
No, it was in spring training.
No, I'm saying though, they only conspired about things when they were in the Bronx.
Right.
When he was on the road, they didn't have any game plan. Exactly. We know
this. So this is what I don't get is everybody's like, oh, the Padres are going to be awesome. They traded for Blake Snell. They traded for Yu Darvish. They got this guy. Who's their pitching coach?
Oh, right.
Wow.
Oh right. They can't win a World Series. It's physically impossible.
They're done. I didn't even think of that.
Because Grandpa Lair, he's out to sabotage.
Would you say Larry Rothschild is a five-star pitching coach?
For anyone but Sonny Gray, absolutely would. Absolutely would.
But would you say this is a five-star podcast?
That's no doubt. Absolutely. That's no doubt. And I got to say thank you to everyone because we've been doing much better with bringing it up. And every week we get a nice amount of reviews coming in. So
we
appreciate it. Keep it up. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you watch us on there. You can find us anywhere. But if you listen, most people listen on iTunes. So if you're listening on iTunes, take a second. Head over to, I guess, the main page. Leave us a quick 5-star rating and review.
Yes. What I think, though, you may have alienated. We may have alienated some Democratic listeners and are open. They might have taken that as a perceived attack on the current president of the United States. And all I'm going to say regarding that is I don't care who the president of the United States is. I just care if it will help the Yankees win a World Series. And apparently a Democrat sitting in the Oval Office will help them win a World Series.
Listen, so let's you know what? I love the way you just made the country much simpler. Let's go back to a time where we only care about ourselves, right? And our own well-being. Because if we're all better, if we're all better and in better states of mind, right? Then we make the world better. So let's be a little selfish here and say, who cares about policy? Who cares what the narrative is? Let's just be selfish. And let's just say there's a better chance for the Yankees to win now. And that's all we should care about is the Yankees winning.
Yes. So, hey, you know what? If the Yankees go 4-for-4 in Joe Biden's presidency, then he's the greatest president in the history.
Boom. Yeah, four more years.
Re-elect him. I want four more years. Fuck it. I don't care what kind of shape our country's in at that point. You just fucking re-elect him.
We could literally. Ryan, do you remember the scene in Avengers Endgame when they scanned over Citi Field before they did like the group therapy session? That could literally be America, but the Yankees could be on a 4-for-4.
That's all that matters.
Streak of winning World Series with Joe Biden as president.
Throw in a couple of Cole Cy Youngs if you want.
Hey, you know what? I will personally go to Rand McNally and write the fucking textbook. Joe Biden, greatest president ever.
Listen, in all seriousness. This is what we do need to get back to. Just not giving so much of a fuck because I get too fucking involved. Like, it's just everywhere. It's everywhere. And for me, I'm someone who hates politics. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I fucking don't trust you and I hate you. That's pretty much what it comes down to for me. And we just have to go back to simpler times where we just focus on the things that make us happy and the things we want for ourselves and our families. And my family will not be happier than after a Yankee World Series, because then I'm happy. Okay. Boom.
All right.
All right. Since we've been discussing the Yankees winning World Series, let's kind of start there. We just kind of preview the show a little bit. I'm just tossing around different ideas of how I want to format the show going forward. If we want to do like preview in the open or whatever, you know what? We'll get to the Jarrett Porter stuff at the end of the show. I thought we were going to open with it, but we'll get to it at the end of the show. We're going to talk about we touched on this last week because it kind of broke while we were recording the Luis Castillo trade rumors, which kind of are a little non-existent at this point. But now, you hear the name Jameson Taillon popping back up again.
Who brought him up first? Who brought him up first?
Well, you know what? People can say that we're a bunch of jabronis. Nobody knows who we are, blah, 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 blah. But when Joel Sherman writes a fucking article today about comparing Troy Tulowitzki signing to Corey Kluber signing. You're going to tell me that somewhere in the stratosphere, my voice.
No, come on. Let me be honest. And you know I don't like to blow smoke up your ass. If I can help it, I will never do it.
Please don't blow anything up my ass.
I'm going to blow a little bit of pipe smoke up your ass right now. Because when you brought that comparison up, I understood where you were coming from. But I was like, okay, this is definitely a unique point of view because I don't fully see it. I get the comparison, but there's just no way in hell anyone's coming up with that comparison elsewhere in the Yankee universe. There's no way. So I still not on board with it just because Joel Sherman brought it up, but I think you're right. I think he listens to the show. And if you're listening, Joel, we'd love to have you on. I don't think we've said anything bad about Joel Sherman.
I don't know. Yankee Twitter doesn't seem to like him. I don't know what caused that, but he gets a lot of people are digging at him a little bit. Well, speaking of people that we have had on the show, we've spoken to Brian Hoke in the past, and I don't recall what he was doing this week. I know he was on a few different shows. He caused a little bit of I don't know what the word. He caused a little bit of commotion, I guess you want to say, when he said that the Yankees were doing their due diligence or whatever, however he phrased it, regarding Jameson Taillon. He was a name that we had heard linked to the Yankees a few weeks ago when we discussed him. But when somebody like Brian Hoke comes out and says that, and then he says it in the context that he said it, it leads you to believe that the Yankees are doing a lot of work on him because he's an actual target for them. Now, we've talked about this in the past. This guy hasn't pitched since when, Ryan?
2019.
Did he pitch in 2019?
Yeah, he pitched about seven games.
He made seven starts in 2019.
Basically didn't pitch in 2019.
Well, no, he did.
But in 2018, he threw 191 innings. In 2017, he threw 133 innings.
All right, so I got to
say, 2018?
191.
That's the only optimistic thing I can take away from that. Is that okay? When this guy is healthy, and let's hope if you have three Tommy Johns, are you done at that point? Do they have a Tommy John limit?
Can you have three? I thought they don't.
They have a Tommy John limit?
Use your other arm.
Yeah, then you're fucking. Then you're just becoming a lefty at that. Is he a left? He's a righty, right?
He's a right-hander. Yeah.
He's had two already.
Yeah,
I believe he's had two Tommy Johns.
Yeah, surgeries. This was his second, I believe. His first since becoming a major league pitcher.
That's great.
So, yeah, you know, when he's healthy, does he have the ability to eat some innings? He had a couple years where his ERA was respectable. I mean, he had a 3.2 and a 3.4 in his two better years.
His earned run average, you're saying, asking?
Yeah.
He in 2018, that was his best year when he went 14-10 in 191 innings. He had a 3.2 earned run average.
And then he had a 3.4. 2 years,
2018,
and then two seasons before he had a 3.4,
3.38.
So that's respectable, but again, we're talking about replacing a question mark with a question mark.
And so his first Tommy John, they took it from his wrist.
This one they took from his butt.
The palmaris long. He doesn't have the palmaris tendon in his wrist. So his second Tommy John, they had to take it from his left leg.
Yeah.
The tendon graft from his left leg.
Yeah, my buddy LeMay in college, he didn't have a strong enough one in his wrist. So they took it right from his ace, right down here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Another team looking into Taillon is the Tampa Bay Rays. So
guess what? They can have him.
Yeah look, I think you're going at this... I think you have every right to be negative towards it because you know what the asking price is going to be. If we're getting him, that's a different story.
We know what the asking price is because we're also hearing the Yankees are they've been in contact with Yasiel Puig and they've been in contact with Marcell Ozuna. Why do we need another right-handed outfielder?
Because we're trying to push Frazier.
Oh, well, really? So we're going to trade Clint Frazier and have to pay one of these guys and then have to bring in another guy on a contract to trade for a guy that hasn't pitched in 2 years. When didn't last week, didn't we sign somebody that hasn't pitched in 2 years? Am I mistaken in saying that?
Yes. And, okay. And didn't we just get rid of someone who couldn't stay healthy and we said we shouldn't do this anymore?
Are we trying to – this is what baffles me when it comes to Brian Cashman. You got to break the mold here. We all know what Brian Cashman's MO is, low risk, high reward.
Yeah.
And how do you get starting pitchers low risk, high reward? They're hurt all the time. Yeah, same thing with James Paxton. You can bring in any number of guys you want to list that he's brought around here.
All right, but I'm gonna play devil's advocate real quick. I'm fully on board with you, and I completely agree. But we have to pose the question of who else is out there.
Why? Here's the popular name, and I'm not one of these fantasy GM type guys that say go get this guy, even though what's wrong with getting Kyle Hendricks out of Chicago? Well,
that could still happen, you know. That could definitely.
They're not going to trade. They're not going to make both trades.
No, no, no. I'm saying if the tie-on isn't going to happen, I'm sure their first priority would be Kendricks if they can get
Kyle Hendricks.
If they can get a reasonable asking price for
him. I'm not even talking about reasonable. Ryan, please look up Kyle Hendricks' numbers. Give them to me, please.
By reasonable.
This is the guy to stick behind Gerrit Cole.
Listen, by reasonable, I meant not Gleyber Torres.
So in the 2020 season, he went 6-5, but he posted a 2.88 ERA.
Just give
81
me
innings.
Ryan, can you just give me innings pitched and ERA, please?
Right. 2019, 177 innings pitched, 3.46. 2018, 199 innings, 3.44. 2017, 139, 303, and his best year, 190 in 2016, though, 2.13 earned on average.
Yeah, I mean,
Didn't he pitch Game 7 in the World Series that year?
I think so. He came in third in Cy Young that year.
And if you don't mind going to spot track, I believe he's making $14 million a year for the next two seasons, something like that.
So that's the guy that he has the makeup and the profile of the guy that the Yankees need to stick into this rotation.
And then if you want to tell me Corey Kluber is your other move, then I'm okay with it. Because now you have a legit 1-2.
Yeah.
We don't have that right now.
We don't know if we have it. You're starting the season without it.
Shut your mouth and listen. You have not eliminated any of the question marks. So until you're proven wrong, you don't have it.
Guilty until proven innocent.
It looks like he signed until 2024. He's making $14 million over the next 3 years, and then 2024 he's up to $16 million, and then a vesting option in 2024.
For a guy that's going to be a legit number, he is a legitimate number two pitcher. I can't stress this enough. You cannot waste Gerrit Cole's prime years.
Yeah.
You already wasted one of them because of the fucking pandemic. And you almost have to give the Yankees a pass for it. You have to kind of give everybody, just say 60 games, 2020, just wipe it off the map. But now if you're going to play 162, you're going to start on time. You're going to play 162. There should be no excuses. What the Cubs look like, they might be in a little bit of a sell mode here. Why not call them up? Why not?
How do you know they have?
You can't.
How do you know they have?
Because you seem to get the feeling that they're more interested in taking a flyer on a guy that hasn't pitched in 2 years than actually paying the freight on somebody that you know can stand up there with the lights shining bright. What do you mean?
Who's the freak, Christian? I mean, how many times? And I'm not defending the Yankees. I am on board with you, but we also have to be fair and talk about the fact that every fucking asking price starts with Gleyber Torres. It's almost like Gleyber Torres handcuffs the Yankees because teams don't want to move past them.
All right, so trade him and bring Didi Gregorius back. Is that what you want?
Would you do that for?
Fuck no.
Okay, so there you go. I mean, teams don't want to move past them. The Yankees have a piece in their roster that we want to talk about the Yankee tax that they pay when they're overpaying for players in a trade or whatnot. Gleyber Torres is the Yankee tax that no team will go past. They will not hear anything unless it's good. And I think as much as we want to rip Brian Cashman, we also have to understand that that seems to be what's holding most of these deals back.
You can't, are you considering the Yankees a World Series contender?
Yes.
So you don't trade starting pieces from your team.
I understand. I'm in agreement with you.
Right. Trade them. Trade Dominguez. Just trade him.
If that were the case, if it came out and it said, and they said Brian Cashman was offered this deal, but he wouldn't give up Dominguez, then I'm pissed. Then I'm saying, what the fuck are you doing?
For Hendricks?
Yes. I'm saying, what are you doing at this
point? How old is Hendricks? Is Hendricks still in his 20s? He's probably, what, 28, 29 right now?
I wouldn't make that deal for Kyle Hendricks. So he's got a lot of innings on his arm. He's got over 1,000 innings pitched, and he's 31.
Yeah, but that's a good thing right now because the guys who don't have a lot of innings on their arms seem to be the guys who have Tommy John surgery. Seem to be the guys who can't stay healthy. Let's get a guy here who has shown us his arm is durable.
So do you want to make a trade for a guy whose contract is going to run out and you're hoping that Jason Dominguez will make the Major League roster at that point?
Is Jason Dominguez a good Major League Baseball player?
I have no idea.
Right. There you go. Is he a Major League Baseball player or is he fantasy land? Is he fantasy land right now?
I've said this 100 times. He is a myth to me.
Jason Dominguez, if your kids are listening, tune him out. Mute us right now. Jason Dominguez is like the fucking tooth fairy right now, okay? Where you put a little fucking tooth under your pillow and you wake up and you think the tooth fairy came and left you a dollar, okay? You never see her. No one fucking knows if she's real. That's Jason Dominguez. And that's who you cannot hold back for a piece that could literally, I mean, arguably, if the Yankees got Hendricks, don't you think they're the favorite to win at least the AL pennant?
What is legitimate number two there to favorite in the American League?
Yes. Come on.
You have the best pitcher in the league, maybe the sport on your team. Would you dispute that?
Healthy right now? I mean, who is considered the best right now?
Jacob DeGrom?
Obviously, duh, I forgot about that. Yeah, definitely in the league. Jacob DeGrom's in a different... That's why I didn't even think of him, because he's just in a different... He's on a different planet. He's not even comparable to anyone else. But outside of that...
I would say that Gerrit Cole can hold his own to Jacob DeGrom. It's not like when Marcus Stroman said that nobody on the Yankees was in his league.
Right. And then he took a $4 million deal just to not slip through the cracks.
He took a qualifying offer.
Well, he took $19 million. So.
Loser.
Yeah, still 19.
Whatever. He took it because he knew he couldn't make it. He was going to probably make $4 million. Right. No, I mean, seeing what... who the hell did the Red Sox just sign? Some pitcher. Gary Richards, $10 million.
Yeah. $10 million he got?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Holy
That's wild. Red Sox
making moves, and they signed Kike Hernandez.
Wait, hold on. Can we just talk about that? That's where the market's at right now? That Richards is getting $10 million?
Yeah, that's why I keep thinking that Tanaka's not coming back.
Yeah,
that pretty much confirms that he's gone.
Yankees aren't going to pay him $15 million a year.
You have a little agita tonight?
A little bit. I don't drink caffeine this late. So.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it's that late night monster. Damn, $10 million for Garrett Richards, huh?
That's crazy.
Tanaka's going to get $20
million. Easily.
He'll get 15, though, I think, from the Angels. Go back to Japan.
I don't think he's going to sign anywhere, to be honest with you. I think he's just going to go back to Japan.
That sucks.
He's not going to the
Angels. Nah, he's not going to the Angels. But I'm just there's got to be a team out there that's going to offer that him more sucks. Than the Red Sox offered Richards.
That's a shitty way to go out.
The team that I would have thought he would have wound up on was San Diego. But, I mean, how many more starting pitchers are they going to get?
Yeah.
Because think about it. They got Snell, Musgrove, Darvish, and now they're going to go and get Tanaka. That's a whole rotation right there.
I think they had a one or two guys that were pretty decent already.
All right, let's just say the Yankees wait long enough where no one offers anything to Tanaka, and he's kind of like, he's really gotten to the point where he's like, all right, I guess my future is just back in Japan, right? What if the Yankees call him up at that point and say, look, we know you're heading back to Japan. What if we gave you 1 year just to come back and play with us before you go back and finish out your career in Japan? You think he does it to stay in New York to get a proper goodbye?
What are they going to offer him? $8 and a free chicken bucket?
Here's what I do. You know how some there's a few players that were signing late in the regulars. Who is that? Ian Desmond, I think, did it a few years back where they weren't signing, and then they had their own little mini training camp, and then they, you know, had tryouts or whatever. Maybe you have Tanaka go and play in Japan until like August. You sign him on a lower contract.
No, he'll have a full contract there.
I'll have a contract. They're not going to let him go.
Void it.
Especially not to leave the country.
Maybe. Yeah,
it's like.
I'm saying when's their season done?
It doesn't matter. He's not going to be able to go pitch in Japan. Well, what if he
signs a 1 year deal with the.
What if he signs a six? What if he just signs a six game deal? Like, oh, here I go.
Never know.
I'm going back to America in July.
I really think that my scenario there could happen. Where
are the Yankees luxury tax wise?
I don't know. That's what I was just going to ask you. What is it, like 11? I think they have like
I don't know around what, 9.
9 to 11?
If they're going to bring in Hendricks, they're going to have to trade Adam Ottavino, which I'm not going to cry about, but they have to trade him if they want to stay under 210.
And that kind of puts him in a vulnerable place too, because we really need Adam Ottavino.
No, you really don't.
No. I'm saying we need the real Adam Ottavino if he's going to be here. And without him, if we're replacing that with the starting pitcher, that's great. I'm all on board for that, especially a guy like Hendricks. But at that point, then we're really spreading our bullpen thin because we don't have Canley, and now we don't have Adam Ottavino anymore. Who do we have out there?
Somebody's got to step up.
Yeah, who's that?
Asher Wojciechowski.
Oh, please. That's just, you know, and that those types of things annoy me. You know, when fans are like, "Oh, why did we sign this guy? He sucks. He's not gonna." That's the point. He's not gonna make the team. If you see Asher Wojciechowski, fucking making starts for the Yankees, something went terribly wrong. He's just there as a guy that can go sit and scratch his balls in Scranton in case of an emergency that they need somebody to come in and throw four innings for a start. Brian Cannon, just like Chasim, when we talked about last week, he didn't sign this guy to be any type of big factor. These are just guys that have logged major league innings.
Cortez, it wasn't a big factor.
Yeah, Nestor Cortez is back. Look at that.
Adam Warren.
Oh, they did. Did they get Adam Warren back? Yeah.
Yeah.
Minor league deal, though, right?
I don't know what it is with Adam Warren, why he keeps coming back here.
Yeah, they hate him.
He has success here. Versus the other teams.
He was in he went to the
The tour. Was he in the Torres deal?
Was he in the Torres deal? Was it Chapman and Warren? And they?
I thought he went. No, he was in the international bonus pool money.
For who?
He went to Seattle for bonus.
He got traded a couple times. Yankees traded him at least twice.
Oh, did he come back in that deal?
Did he come back? He might.
Yeah, I think they traded him. Did they trade him to the Mariners first?
Yes.
I don't know.
That was the final time Adam Warren left.
They announced that they have acquired international signing pool money from the Mariners in exchange for Adam Warren.
International slut money.
That was in 2018.
Yeah, but the second time was in 2016.
I don't know. I'm not a big Adam Warren guy.
It was for Starlin Castro. Yeah.
Oh, so now we're going.
And a player, the Yankees traded Warren and a player to be named later. Who was that player to be named?
Brendan Ryan. I just looked it up.
So then they got him back just to ship him off. And then he
got him back. Then he came back in the Gleyber Torres deal.
Yeah. Jesus. Right. My God. And that was actually, everyone talks about getting Torres and then also getting like Chapman back, and who was the other guy that got back? Wasn't there some just Chapman back eventually? No one talks about getting Adam Warren back in that deal, but that was actually a pretty big move because we know Cashman's strength is the international pool money. That if there's one thing Cashman does great, it's use that money efficiently.
Right. So he used it to sign Jason Dominguez. Now he's got to trade him to the Cubs.
There you go.
All comes back to the Cubs.
There you go.
Look, man, this is what kills me sometimes. It's just like fans are like, oh, Cashman's a prospect hugger. And then it's like, oh, well, you can't trade Jason Dominguez.
Right.
Well,
that's who else is he hugging?
So honestly, build a package around him. Maybe you don't go as high as Davey or Schmidt as the pitching that goes back because you're trading Dominguez. But dude, you can't let the honestly.
Oh, I go Schmidt. I don't go Davey though, for sure. No way.
I can't let a guy that is 18 years old that might be 2 or 3 years away from making a major league team keep me from acquiring what I really need right now.
Yeah. It's all about right now.
I can't. And I mean, really, you know, we know that we live in New York, New Jersey, and these are blue states, and you guys, it's very big stronghold for Mr. President Biden here. You want to
make him look
greatest
good.
President ever. So the Yankees have to win a World Series. So let's trade Jason Dominguez.
See ya.
And we'll say that that's the Joe Biden presidency.
That's right it. That's his legacy. What did Joe Biden do? Well, we don't really know because we stopped following
politics. He got us Kyle Hendricks.
But he got us Kyle Hendricks. He got us Kyle Hendricks. He kicked Sonny Gray right out of the Bronx, and he won us a World Series.
I had heard something brief in passing that the Mets made a call on Sonny Gray.
Oh, boy. Don't they know about his record in New York?
No, that's not his fault, though.
Oh, right. Right.
Yeah, for Eugenio Suarez and Sonny Gray, they reached out for.
I can't believe the Mets would want to.
That would fit the narrative, though, that they do tend to sign guys where it would kind of be a spite move for the Yankees.
Hold on.
Spite move.
Hold on.
Christian, if he pitches the way he's pitched in Cincinnati and they go on and go to the World Series, maybe. Then yeah, that's a move where they're biting the Yankees a little bit.
Maybe Steve Cohen.
You wouldn't think you would. How would that make you feel seeing Sonny Gray pitching in game 4 of the World Series?
Wouldn't bother me. Maybe Steve Cohen.
Really? When he gives up 7 runs in 4 innings.
Yeah, well, then that's a different story.
But. Maybe Steve Cohen is too rich for his own good and he hasn't been following baseball closely enough. So he comes over and no one speaks up because he's so rich and powerful and they don't want to tell him like how far off base he is. But he's like, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to stick it to the Yankees. We're going to sign Brandon Drury, and then we're going to get Sonny Gray over here, and we're really going to stick it to him.
I'm going to tell you a funny story because you just made me think of something, right? A few years ago, the WWE signed this deal with Saudi Arabia to do 2 shows a year over there, and obviously
that's not Abu Dhabi.
That's not Saudi Arabia, okay? It's 2 different things. So anyway, the prince of Saudi Arabia makes these weird requests all the time of guys that he wants to see wrestle on these shows, like because he remembers from being a fan and like when he was a kid, like in the 90s. So he's like, oh, we're doing a show this month. Can we get the Ultimate Warrior? Meanwhile, the guy died 3 years ago. So it's
they're a little behind on the news over there in Saudi
Arabia. So Steve Cohen's like, oh, we can get Brandon Drury. I remember reading some that the Yankee fans really liked him.
And then Sonny Gray. Yeah.
Look, if Sonny Gray came to the Mets and he pitched like a Cy Young, would it piss me off?
I guess. It would just further prove our point that this guy's just such a fucking fraud. Such a fraud. Made every excuse in the book of why he couldn't be successful as a Yankee.
Well, you know, there are less people. Oh,
you know,
Queens.
I thought I pitched good. I only threw 2 innings and gave up 7 runs on 3 hits. But I felt really good out there, and I thought my slider was really, really effective.
So remember when we were hosted at Yankee Stadium by the Levines for the Mallory's Army Charity?
Yes.
Remember that game was such a blowout, and we were just having a good time?
Yes.
And then Sonny Gray came in, and we looked up, and we're like,
oh, my God, it's close.
The tying run is on?
Yeah. That's exactly Sonny Gray. That's Sonny Gray's legacy here in New York.
Was that the Sonny Gray smart game?
No. That was a dating
game. No.
Do you really want to get me started right now
on the smart game? Let's move on. Was a bad day for Christian.
Way too much.
Okay. Speaking of pitchers, let's just bring this up quick. Although we have broken a rule of mentioning Sonny Gray's name on the show, we will not break our rule of mentioning this dickhead's name on the show. He actually signed a one-year deal with the Minnesota Twins this week.
Yeah. If you don't know who, you can just Google it because we shouldn't bring up his name.
Yeah. I think he's got a $100,000 Cy Young incentive bonus too wrapped up in there. So,
this just goes to show you how fucked in the head Yankee Twitter is. There's people actually that tweet it. Oh well, why didn't we re-sign him?
No, you can't. No. There's no people doing that. I refuse to believe it. I'm gonna live in my own reality.
Live in your own reality.
I'm gonna live in my own reality.
The Twins are getting. Why didn't we get like? Okay, relax.
No, just no. There's no way someone's brain actually functions that way.
There were people defending him on social media when the trade was made. Wow. Oh, well, he's not really as bad as the Yankee fans made him out.
No, he definitely was.
You're right. You're absolutely right. He's not as bad as we made him out to seem. He's actually fucking worse.
He's worse. He's way worse. And he's a dick. He was a dickhead on top of it all.
Well, you know, the Yankees fucked with his money. No, he fucked with his money by sucking.
By sucking.
Well, to put a bow on that, so we don't have to talk about it until the Yankees fucking put up 10 on him in 2/3 of an inning. The Twins just proved that they have zero interest in ever beating the Yankees in a postseason series.
Honestly, I agree with that. Maybe they just gave up. Maybe they were just like, look, we threw our best at them. And there's just
game one of the division series, Yankees Twins. It's Cole versus him, and you're like,
the Twins just gave up though. When they come out and hit and get a fucking 3-run homer to start a game.
I will never be so confident that the Yankees will win a game. And if he lost, I might try to run myself over.
Yeah.
I would put my car in neutral and lay there.
Yeah. You mean if he won, if he beat the Yankees?
What did I say?
You said if he lost. If we lost, yeah, absolutely. I'd actually put it in reverse for you and hit the gas.
So let's continue this little conversation here about Jameson Taillon, just to put a bow on that. How about here's as simple as I can say, no.
Mm.
He's gonna do it. He's gonna fucking do it.
I don't know.
You know it.
I don't know. You got to exhaust all your other options.
And I don't want to use this term like and make light of the situation. It's like a drug addict. Mm-hmm. And you just know that they're going to fucking relapse.
Right.
And it's just like you say to yourself, nah, they're past it. It's not going to happen again. And then meanwhile, you know, you see him down in the corner buying fucking crack or whatever.
Right.
Injured pitchers are fucking crack addiction to Brian Cashman. He's like, oh, one more hit.
Give me.
And this guy's got two Tommy Johns, so he's really fiending for him.
Oh, my God.
You know, one Tommy John's good enough, but you give him two Tommy Johns.
Can you imagine if that elbow flares up for a third time? Oh, my God.
Oh, you mean I could have had Robbie Ray and Archie Bradley from Clint Frazier?
Jameson, how's that elbow feeling? It's a little tender, isn't it?
It almost is. It's almost like you're in the Twilight Zone with Cashman and these moves. But here's the only thing I'll say. What if it comes out that he did call on Hendricks, who's the dude that we were looking at? Castillo.
They did call on Luis Castillo.
No, I know. I'm just saying if all these other options, because I said, what better options do they have? And you named, Hendricks, whatever. And let's just say they called all the other options. And like I said, it all started with Gleyber Torres and they wouldn't move off him. And this is his only option. What if that comes out? Are you okay with the deal then?
It's like the Corey Kluber thing. I guess it's not, you have to do something. Something's better than nothing. But what did you do to eliminate the question marks in your rotation?
Yeah, but what if he can't? Then are you okay with giving up Torres?
No, I'm not, because I don't live in fantasy world.
Another question mark.
Because here's what's going to happen, right? Oh, why don't we go and get Trevor Story? Because you're not playing a fucking video game, you gimp.
Oh, man. So is Didi just not going to play, you think?
He'll get signed somewhere. Is GIMP offensive? Can you say that anymore?
It doesn't matter. You can be offensive again.
We just got canceled.
We're allowed to be offensive again now. You can be offensive. Because you know what? Yeah, because you know what? We're going to laugh on this show. And everyone fucking knows who loves us, who has been listening to us, that we are not serious. We are making funnies.
Okay.
Serious?
Are you serious right now?
Okay. I told that story about the guy I used to work for, and he would be like, oh, serious? Yes, like, Jimmy, serious. This guy wants to order two pizzas. Serious?
Do you remember Johnny Hardcore?
Yeah. I nicknamed him Johnny Hardcore.
This fucking guy, because I'm just bringing him up because my neighbor looks just like him and talks just like him.
Oh, boy.
Johnny fucking Hardcore.
Because he probably had to go into hiding.
Is Johnny incriminated himself.
I don't know. Little false to Haskell is much hiding, but
Ryan never worked with Johnny Hardcore.
No. Ryan, let's just tell the story real quick. Back in the day, I had a side hustle, right?
Oh yeah, you used to sell DVDs.
I used to sell DVDs, and you know what better way to push them than your coworkers at a pizzeria? And I saw his name was Johnny, and was that even his real name?
John was his real name. I don't know what his last name was.
So one day I went up to him.
It wasn't Hardcore.
Was like, well, I were like, John. I said, John, he's like, you watch movies? Like, yeah, well, you know, I watch movies. And I was like, well, you know, I sell DVDs. I was like, he's like, yeah, what do you want? It's like 3 for $10, right? So he's like, what do you got? So I carried a catalog basically around of what I had. This way I didn't have to fucking commit to memory. I had like
you were
a
like the dudes at Yankee Stadium who come up to you and you're like, hey, you want a hat? You were like one of those guys. You kept your fucking catalog in your car with you at all times.
So he looked at it. He's like, you got any of those movies? And I was like, what fucking movies?
You know, those So I was like,
I got some Skinamax. He's like, no, I'm talking about like fucking Hardcore here. No,
this is what he would do. He would pull you to the side and be like, Christian, you got any of those adult movies over there? And then you would react to him. So then he said the Hardcore thing to Christian. He's like, no, I like Hardcore porn. And then Christian's like, whenever he got a reaction back that was like, maybe he shouldn't have said it. He'd always follow up with, no, I'm just kidding with you. Seriously, though. But I like softcore. But no, seriously, though, Christian, between me and you, I really do like hardcore porn. and then he'd just walk away.
And it was Johnny Hardcore.
Johnny. And he had no idea why everyone at the pizzeria was calling him Johnny Hardcore.
I told that story to everybody. A nun walked in and I told her the fucking story. And he still had no clue why he was Johnny Hardcore.
Hey, Chris, why are they calling me Hardcore? I don't know, Johnny.
I heard he went to jail.
Probably. Wouldn't doubt it.
Why would we bring up a story about Johnny Hardcore?
I don't know.
Someone you used to work with. You two used to work together.
All right. So what's... Brian Cashman, right?
Yeah.
What about Brian? Can you not sit fucking still? Move or something. Could you make me think the computer froze? What if Brian Cashman's like sitting in his bathtub alone? And he's like, oh man, I could trade Jason Dominguez for a guy that had two Tommy Johns.
Two Tommies? Who do you think he called?
Two Tommies?
You think? Oh man.
So you're telling me you had surgery on that arm twice? Oh, you don't have a wrist tendon or a leg tendon? Talk about hardcore.
That's hot. That's my type of guy right there.
God, you're gonna run out of tendons. You might have to take that other tendon.
Now it explains why the Yankees have so many injury prone players on the team.
Yeah, it just gets up.
Ever since 2016, this team has been falling apart. Cashman has a weird fetish.
That's why everybody's worried about, the Yankees aren't going to sign Judge long-term. Watch him play 40 games.
He's definitely getting signed.
He's going to get a $320 million contract delivered to him.
So the more hurt you are, the better contract you're
getting. Aaron Hicks, you play 28 games a year. Here's a seven-year deal.
Severino, Tommy John surgery.
No, you know what?
Five-year deal.
You know, Hicks was in the LPGA, had like a celebrity.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw the
Hicks, he was filthy, dude. Maybe he should have been a golfer.
I saw a video of him at a Top Golf hitting it out of Top Golf.
Oh, that's
fucking
so good,
great.
Man.
If I'm the Yankees, yeah. But again, we uncovered Cashman's secret. I'm telling him, bro, you can play golf when you play 140 games this year. Then you can play golf in the offseason.
Oh, no, I like it. I like when guys play other sports and get hurt. Look at my coach. I got a booner.
Actually, we should say this. I'm going to bring this up. Our condolences to the Aaron family on the passing of Henry Aaron yesterday. You can say if you want that he's baseball's all-time home run king. He's definitely baseball's clean all-time home run king. One of the greatest players to ever play Major League Baseball. Definitely rest in peace. And you know, he wasn't as good. He didn't have the charismatic.
He didn't have the
Mickey Mantle.
You have it up, right? Can you read his tweet verbatim?
Okay, yeah. He didn't have the explosive magic, okay, of Mantle or the charisma of Mays, okay? He played in Milwaukee and Atlanta at a time when that mattered. But Aaron was a dignified force, an all-around performer who dared to break the record. He was a true hero, R.I.P.
It's so funny. Look,
Didn't have the explosive magic of Mantle.
We don't mean to make fun of a guy dying, but no. Mike, when somebody big in the sports world dies, the first thing I do is go to Mike Francis's Twitter page.
Do you know how there's like a backhanded compliment? He gives backhanded condolences when someone dies.
Wait, here's another tweet about Hank Aaron.
Was it possible to be that good and still be underrated? That was Hank Aaron. R.I.P.
I swear he put the R.I.P. in it too.
It all started with Horace Clark, right? That was like the first one.
Yes,
it wasn't that good. Okay.
Okay, he wasn't that good. The Yankees then there were sucked.
Two
when he
more.
Was there.
He went on a field. He had a fucking field.
I think
day.
It was Tom Seaver. He did one.
Tom Seaver, I think, was actually a good one.
Wait, okay.
Horace Clark. Yeah, he didn't take Horace Clark was a symbol of the Yankees' fall from grace post 1964. He was mediocre, just like the Bombers, 65 through 74. R.I.P.
Okay, you weren't that good, but you're dead. So
he was mediocre. R.I.P.
Oh, it's too good. It's too good.
And it's not just us, because now Carton made, I didn't hear it, but Carton made it a segment on a show this week.
Oh, man.
But, oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Here, let me do one more. This was Tom Seaver.
Sandy Koufax is the most dominant pitcher I've ever seen. But the most consistent and professional was Tom Seaver, an amazing performer. R.I.P.
Koufax was better.
He has to throw something else
not
in.
Not
there.
Throw in, Chris. Start it. Start it with it.
Sandy Koufax is the most dominant pitcher I've ever seen. But the most consistent and professional was Tom Seaver, an amazing performer. R.I.P.
God forbid he has to give a eulogy for, you know.
Oh my God.
And he's like, okay, Aunt Edna, you weren't really my favorite aunt. I like Aunt Louise better.
Aunt Teresa was better. Okay. Oh, man. That's too good.
So let's just.
Okay, he was no Ed McMahon, but Minka was a good sidekick. Okay.
All right. I don't know. I was good. I brought up Henry Aaron because they had Carton and Roberts had Joe Torre on yesterday to talk about Aaron, and I was going to tie it into something he said to what we were talking about, and I completely forgot.
Maybe it's for the best.
All right, so the other thing I wanted to touch on before we move off of the Yankees and on to the other big story of the week with the firing of Jarrett Porter is Luis Castillo. I think it was somewhere around Sunday, Monday, the Reds GM came out and said that they are not intending to trade Luis Castillo. It is their belief or their hope or whatever. He said that he's going to be in their rotation this year. And, you know, Yankee Twitter was taking bows. It's like we kind of bullied him into making a statement because we were like, we're getting Luis Castillo. I do have some Adra. It's fucking eggplant, man. I love it, but it's no good for me anymore. We did hear there was a report out from Heyman, I believe, that said that the Yankees and Reds did talk about Luis Castillo, and the Reds asked for Gleyber Torres, and Brian Cashman said, well, how many Tommy John surgeries does Luis Castillo have? And their GM said zero, and he said no deal.
Click.
Get him. He's like, if he has a Tommy John surgery, call me. I'll trade you him and Dominguez, okay? And I'll pick up all the money on Cole's contract. You have him for free.
Get him some X-rays in there, yeah.
So, I mean, let's just briefly talk about this. Yeah, I mean, it seems like, you know, with the Reds saying that Castillo's price tag is Gleyber plus, that the Yankees aren't going to swim in those waters, and nor should they. That's why I kind of feel like maybe Kyle Hendricks is the guy that should be taking a stab at, who would be a legit two. Castillo would be a legit two. But, I mean, if you're asking for Gleyber Torres, to me it just kind of shows that you really don't want to trade him. And, I mean, if it was we know Gleyber Torres plus. We don't know how much plus is, but are you okay with Yankees passing on Luis Castillo if the asking price is Gleyber Torres?
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Listen, anything that's starting or ending with Gleyber Torres is off the table. It's just not, it's not realistic. They can't give him up, okay? But other teams, like a team like the Cubbies, right? You said yourself, they're looking like they're starting to sell. I mean, they're looking like they're really starting to, you know, go fresh and maybe revamp the team. If that's the case, then you're not necessarily looking for a guy like Gleyber. You gave him up for what you got. You gave him up for a World Series and he got it. Right? Move on. Start to look at prospects. Start to look to really build your farm system back up. Hendricks should be a guy that, okay, if Frazier's in that deal, that's one thing. But Hendricks should be a guy where the Yankees consider throwing Dominguez out there at him. Again, maybe it doesn't pan out at the end of the day where talent-wise, but if you get a World Series by trading that piece off for only a couple good years of Hendricks, you're doing that all day. I mean, this is what the Yankees need. This is what the Yankees need right now. And if the asking price is too high for prospect, there's no ceiling there. I'm sorry, on prospects, there's nothing. And Frazier is a piece that I can part with.
Is Davey Garcia a prospect?
To me, no. Because I really, with his time in the majors last year, even though it was short, I see a guy who can be very, very effective in the major leagues.
If Davey Garcia gets moved in one of these deals, are you upset?
For a guy like Hendricks, no. I'm not. Because, again, I don't think Davey Garcia plays a big role in them winning a World Series over the next couple of years.
Do you know why Clark Schmidt will not be traded in any of these deals?
Because he's injury prone?
Ryan, wasn't he drafted while he was recovering from Tommy John surgery?
Yes, he was.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I believe he was. I believe he definitely was.
I mean, we're making fun of it, but, I mean, follow the breadcrumbs here.
The only thing that goes against the grain here is letting Tommy Kahnle walk. You would think that Cashman would have signed him for like 5 years.
But they did want to bring him back. They did not. They told him that he had to accept a minor league assignment, which he didn't want to
do. Oh, right.
They didn't want to totally get rid of him.
So Cashman took a stab at it.
Yeah. 40 days after his Tommy John surgery, he was drafted by the Yankees.
Clark Schmidt. You're hurt? Let's use a fucking first round pick on you.
Oh, you're fresh, dude.
Oh, it's a fun show.
He sent me a text. Oh, no, never mind. That's not about Cashman. Never mind.
Oh, boy. We'll get into text messages in a few minutes.
Please. I'm so excited.
So the price tag is Gleyber. You say I'm okay with walking away from that.
Yes.
I'm in total agreement here. I'm not See, I'm going to, it almost sounds contradictory because I'm saying I don't want to trade starting pieces off of my team, but I would put Clint Frazier in a deal.
Yeah, because, Yeah. Frazier, for whatever reason, whether it's fair or not, in our minds, is an expendable piece for the right return.
Because why do you keep hearing, and I said this earlier in the show, why do you keep hearing the Yankees linked to Osuna and Puig? Why do you keep hearing that they have interest in these guys? Another right-handed outfielder. Why? Why?
Right.
What is their plan?
You're 100% right. You're 100% right.
All right, so let's take to Twitter here. I asked a question as a weekly poll here. Would you build a package around Gleyber Torres to acquire Luis Castillo? So we'll read a few here. We'll go with @medic968. Would I build a package per se? No. I would trade Torres in very low-level prospects as a last resort if all other packages failed and decisions for other players like Marquez and Woodruff. Sign Didi or Andrelton Simmons for 1 year because there's a plethora of elite shortstops in 2022. See, that's what I wanted to touch on here. There's a lot of Yankee fans say, yeah, we can trade Gleyber, bring in Didi for a year, and then go get Trevor Story, Carlos Correa, Seager might be on the market. You know, are you okay with, like, is that, knowing that, would that you make that move? Would you be okay with a stopgap shortstop? But again, is there a guarantee the Yankees are going to play in that market next year and go get Trevor Story, bring in Carlos Correa? If Corey Seager's out there, go bring in Seager?
No.
Are you confident the Yankees are going to play in that market?
No. I'm definitely not confident. Going after big fish like that.
Again, like people are like, oh, just turn around and trade for Trevor Story. So you're going to tell me you're going to put all your chips in a basket to go get Luis Castillo, and then you're going to go and double down and trade for Trevor Story? That doesn't fit what the Yankees are going to do here.
No, we got to run with what we know.
And if you're making two big, significant trades, why not go get two starting pitchers and keep Gleyber Torres?
Right. Right.
I'm telling you, and anybody listening that can hear my voice can think I'm fucking nuts, and that's great. I am not letting Jason Dominguez hold me back from acquiring something that I really need this year. We talked about, when does Brian Cashman just grab his balls and say, I need to overpay, pay an ace price on somebody that might not be an ace because I got to win. That chip that he has is Jason Dominguez.
Yeah.
Cash, you got it. Pun intended, cash it in. Cash it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're not talking about fucking, I'm not saying trade Dominguez for Jameson Taillon, but if you can get Castillo for Dominguez, you can get Hendricks for Castillo for Dominguez. How do you let that hold you back right now?
You know what Cashman has to do? He has to stop being on the defensive here. He needs to go out there and make a clear statement. And I know he said it in the past, but he's got to add a little something to it. He's got to make a clear statement that Gleyber Torres is not up for debate on anyone. But he has to reference that any of his prospects right now are on the table for the right deal. He has to open that door for other teams to sit there and go, you know what? Cashman said any of his prospects, we want Dominguez, let's call his bluff. And let's call him up. And let's offer him this for Dominguez.
That's what Brian Cashman should do. He should have it on three-way calling, still a thing.
Yeah, he can make it happen.
Get the fucking GM of the Cubs on one line. Get the GM of the Reds on the other line. Call them both up and say, hey, Cubs GM, I want Hendricks. Reds GM, I want Castillo. Jason Dominguez is on the table. Come back to me with your best offers. One of you is getting Jason Dominguez. Tell me what one of those teams wouldn't seriously consider making a respectable deal with the Yankees knowing Jason Dominguez is on the table. And tell me that you wouldn't have the fucking biggest booner in the world,
yeah,
knowing that you could pair one of those two guys up with Garrett fucking Cole,
yeah,
and go and win a World Series in 2021.
Yeah, I really think that that's what Cashman needs to do, because as much as he's made it known that Gleyber Torres really isn't on the table, he hasn't gone out there and said, I'm willing to part ways with any of my prospects right now for the right price. And allow other teams, instead of him calling on other teams, to say, fuck, man, Dominguez is a great prospect right now. If Cashman's saying that, I'm going to call his bluff on this guy. Even if they're shitty deals that get in the way of that one final call where it's a guy that you would part ways with, it's worth saying it. It's worth making that statement and making it known that you're okay with giving up Dominguez for the right player.
You acquire either Hendricks or Castillo. Tell me what you need. Tell me what you need then. What do you need to feel confident in this team in 2021?
A fucking World Series ring. That's it.
But what else would you sit there and say, I need this. I don't feel comfortable going to battle with this team if you acquire one of those two guys.
Nothing. That's it. I mean, so you can make the argument of the bullpen, but you really don't have a strong leg to stand on with a rotation like that.
Because then if you want to tell me you're pushing Corey Kluber down to third and those are my front two guys, then we're still waiting for
Seve to come back and could be dominant again.
Right. And again, we'll bring up Domingo Germán, put him in Chad Green's old role. Tell me he wouldn't flourish out there doing that shit.
Hell yeah.
All right, we'll read a couple more. Costanzo 24. No. This is why this guy's my boy. No, but I trade Dominguez for him. It's an unpopular opinion, but Castillo takes his team over to the top. Aaron Marie MG says a swap is reasonable, but more than him, no. See, that's an interesting point. Would you just go one for one?
For who? Say it again. I'm sorry.
Torres for Castillo, one for one.
No.
Okay. I have a feeling a lot of Yankee fans would be okay one for one.
No, I cut
the cord. They don't want to add to Gleyber Torres.
The second I hear the other GM go glup, I fucking hang up the phone. I don't care who comes after or before
him. All right. No, that's fair. That's definitely fair. our boy, the GWK21. You know who that is?
No, who?
Kobani Gold.
Kobani Gold. Yeah. Thought so.
No chance. Gleyber is more the future of the Yankees than even Judge or Sanchez. He's the last player on the roster. I even think about trading outside of Gerrit Cole. And this is how you know this guy listens to the show. I wasn't going to read another one, but I will. At Tyler Bigler NC. Hell no. Well, Gleyber will have a bounce back year defensively. We need pitching, but Gleyber Torres would be getting rid of Gleyber would be the dumbest shit since signing Jacoby Ellsbury. # if George were alive.
Yes. Yes.
That's great.
Yes. Love it.
So my wife is in the other room with a screaming child. I have to go deliver her some Gatorade. So if you two want to fill like 2 minutes of time before we get to our final topic, go right ahead.
Ooh, fill time.
I'm good.
I'm good. Let's just let everyone.
You want to been watching any Jeopardy lately?
No, man. I really.
Ken Jennings is doing a great job, dude.
I thought he's everyone hates Ken Jennings now.
Yeah, there was some sort of. I don't know what it was, but he was.
I got back on my documentary kick. I've been out of it for a while. Got to say, anyone who's on Netflix, watch Night Stalker. 100% great documentary. It's a docuseries. It's about a serial killer out in LA back in the day, I think in 84, 85. Phenomenal. And The Vow on HBO Max, phenomenal. Wild stuff. Wild, wild shit. Almost unbelievable.
Yeah, there's some crazy freaking stories out there.
And American Murder too. I'm a big documentary guy. I haven't watched documentaries in a while.
Yeah, I can't even think of the last documentary I watched. I don't even know, dude.
Because I'm done with regular fucking TV, man. I just can't do it anymore. I can't have politics in every facet of my life. And it's just everywhere now. It's everywhere. And so I got to step away. I got to step back. And if that means not watching TV outside of the Yankees, fine. Fuck it. I don't care.
I was looking into yesterday because the Yankees for 2020, they were supposed to have 20, I think it said 21 games were supposed to be on Amazon Prime because they made that deal with Amazon. But they canceled it because of COVID and the shortened season. They didn't do it. And they still haven't announced if they're going to do it this year, but that would be awesome.
Well, you go on Amazon Prime now, and you see that you can watch sports on there.
Like, yeah, you can sometimes stream. They'll have a Thursday night football game on Amazon.
Really?
Yeah, like it's only Amazon.
Here's my thing. So many people are moving away from cable and just going to streaming. The only thing that scares me with that is, first of all, we text nonstop. Like any true Yankee fans out there, they text each other nonstop. And with a streaming service, if someone's watching on cable, you're delayed, right? That's the first thing.
Yeah, the delay.
The delay. The second thing is I can't always, like, Wi-Fi goes out once in a while. I can't rely on Wi-Fi if it's game 7 of the ALCS or World Series and then my fucking Wi-Fi goes out and I'm flipping the fuck out.
No, I don't get fair. Enough credit for being a good husband. I really don't.
You're a decent husband.
Solid? Am I a number 4
you're
starter?
Solid. You're solid. You're a number 4, but right now your wife's trying to make you a number 2. Like, she was fine with going into this expecting you to be a number 4, but now she's trying to make you a number 2. So it's inevitable that you're going to let her down.
I was an ace.
Like when Jay Happ was our number 2 last year.
What did you say?
What?
You said something.
Who, me?
Yeah, you dickhead. You're not supposed to bring that name up on here.
Oh, sorry.
All right. So let's kind of close out the show here. It's a little bit more serious topic than that we usually cover here. But Jared Porter, the former GM of the New York Mets, was involved in sexting is what you would say.
It was scandal. It was more one-way sexting, I'd say.
Yeah. Apparently, a female reporter that he had met in 2016 at Yankee Stadium, of all places, he kind of became infatuated with, sent her 62 unanswered text messages. Two of them were of his ding-dong, and the story broke Monday night, and Tuesday morning he was fired by Steve Cohen. There's a lot of different ways to discuss this story, and I know a lot of people are probably tired of hearing about it at this point, but it's our first opportunity to talk about it, so we're going to. It's a huge story in Major League Baseball, so I think we should touch on it. You do kind of have to give the Mets a little bit of credit here. They didn't let this thing linger. The story came out at around 11 o'clock Monday night, and he was fired 7:30 in the morning on Tuesday. It was the absolute right thing to do. You can't have this guy in a premier position in your organization where he's sexually harassing women and showing his according to him, it wasn't even his own dick. I mean,
really?
He said that he was
just Google searched it.
When the story broke Monday night, bold. He said that it was supposed to be like a funny ha-ha. He was sending stock photos.
Like, dude, just man up to it at this point, please. What, did it have a watermark going over it or something? Come on. Honestly, when I read the article, but then I saw a video pop up that was telling the story, and I'm going through it, and I'm like, all right, do I believe that this happened? Yes, I do. I don't think someone just makes this up. But at the same time, I'm like a big advocate for you're innocent until proven guilty, right? And just hear me out on this story because it progresses and I get to a different conclusion. This was obviously before they started showing the text messages. They're just saying it. And I'm like, wow, the Mets fired a guy. I could see suspending him, right? And letting this play out and seeing. And then they start showing the text messages of it's like, over weeks or months or whatever it was, this guy just didn't stop. And then it was just like out of nowhere, just like a dick pic. It was like, you got to know your timing a little better. Like this guy just did not, he clearly did not have any sense of what's right from wrong. And at that point, when you start to see that, it doesn't matter anything else. You got to part ways with that. And it was kind of like you were waiting for the Mets had too many good things going their way, and then this happened.
Yeah, I don't, you know, a lot of fans want to joke and say same old Mets. I mean, it is kind of interesting, and I tweeted this the other day. that the Mets in the past two off seasons have hired a manager and a general manager, and they over and those two combined oversaw zero baseball games.
Will the Mets have to pay him?
I don't know.
Does it have to go through like it probably has to go through litigation, like court, whatever, or there's got to be like a something in the contract where it's misconduct.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there are morality clauses in these contracts. Like, you know, you can't do shit like this. And I don't fault the Mets. I mean, how can you find something like this out about a guy? Hey, you know, Chris is interviewing for a job at my company. Do I just come out and say, Chris, have you ever unsolicited sent a picture of your balls to a woman before?
Yes.
Well then you're fired. Okay, you're not getting this job. So
imagine if that was one of the interview questions. No, I don't blame the Mets at all. I really don't. But there is an organization that I do blame.
The Cubs?
No. And that's ESPN.
Well, apparently the Cubs organization knew about this. And I don't know. And then he went on to Arizona and the Mets. And yes, ESPN, Mina Kimes had the story back in 2017, I believe. And I understand wanting to protect the victim here. And apparently, you know, Sandy Olson, who got ripped for this, although I don't think he meant it. And I don't know if anybody's actually found out her true identity because of it, said that the woman was from Korea.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't want to be shamed because of it or whatever. And I understand it. I'm not saying that but if you're ESPN and you have this story and you see a guy like Jarrett Porter rising through the ranks,
it is an obligation to put something out.
Can't you just make a phone call and say, hey, you know, you're even to the point like, you know, he was really a nobody kind of in Chicago. And then he kind of rose up a little bit in Arizona to the point where you hear his name pop up as a GM candidate for the Mets. Knowing this, don't you make a phone call?
Yeah.
And say, hey, listen, I can't give you more information than this, but, you know, maybe this is not a guy that you want to hire because something's going to come out about him.
So what the Cubs did reminds me of a little bit of what our high school did back in the day, and I'll make a comparison here. If the Cubs did know and they just let him go instead of acting on it just to save face, it's just like our high school. And I'm not going to, if you go back in previous episodes, you can put it together which high school it was. But there was a teacher that was sleeping with students, some of which were my friends. So I know this as a fact, or else I wouldn't say it. The school found out, and instead of taking it to the police or anything like that, they didn't want to put a bad name on their school in the press. So what they do, they fired her, and then she worked at a bunch of other schools until she got caught doing it and went to jail. So, yeah, the Cubs are just as much to blame then at that point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't want to make ESPN out to be the bad guy here.
I will.
But
I do.
At the same time, you know, Jarrett Porter did this. He did this.
Oh, no. He's the bad guy. Don't get me wrong. You are responsible for your own actions. And you are the bad guy.
At the same time, you know, don't you have some type of moral ground? I understand wanting to protect the victim, but at the same time, knowing this and knowing this guy is rising to more powerful positions, don't you want to put a stop to him?
Here's my question.
Knowing that he does this shit?
Here's my question. I'm not doubting the victim in all of this, the woman from Korea, at all. I don't want it to come off that way. But my question has to be with timing here. And people do need to start asking more questions about certain things. How is it that she didn't want to be shamed when all of that was going on, but then she just and you can say she moved back to Korea now and now she's okay with it, but then she didn't just move the other day, right?
Apparently, she no longer works in baseball.
Right, but when did that happen?
I don't know. But right. I'm saying that I think the timing is a little sketchy because now people know who he is.
Exactly. So
now it's a story.
Exactly.
And this is what Craig Carton had a problem with. And I don't know if the full audio was still there because I listened to it on the radio rewind function. But there is like a 6.5 minute edited clip of his rant from the other day on the WFAN Twitter page that everybody should probably go listen to. And this is part of what his issue was, is that, you know, it's a story now. Nobody cared that Joe Nobody from the Cubs was showing his dick to some woman. It's not a story, but the general manager of the New York Mets shows his dick to a woman unsolicited.
Right.
Now we have a story on our hands.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's piece it together. Let's see when she left baseball and was no longer vulnerable to anything. And then let's see the timing. Because when did the Mets officially hire him? Last month? December or something?
Yeah.
So let's just check the timing on everything. And let's see how long ESPN continued to sit on this and didn't publish it until it became a story where he was someone that everyone knew, joining an organization that had a lot of positive vibes going their way. And then boom, that's when everyone cares.
Well, Paxton got himself into some heat because he actually tweeted in support of the Mets hiring Porter. And they said, you know, how could you say that knowing this? And he's like, oh, I only found out 2 weeks ago.
Oh, but they had the story since 2017?
Well, it was Mina Kimes' story.
Is she an ESPN journalist?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he said apparently he had the right temperament for the job or something.
But apparently Paxton said he didn't know anything about it. And they put and it's like ESPN put Paxton on it because he's the baseball guy. And I think Mina Kimes is an NFL reporter.
Look, if I'm going to, really sure. I don't like passing, but if I'm going to say give my stance of innocent until proven guilty, I got to give it with someone I don't like also. Maybe he didn't know. Maybe he didn't. He doesn't
so
seem
you're
like
give him a passing.
I'm going to give him a passing on this. He doesn't seem like I don't like him because he just is fucking annoys me. But doesn't
he's
seem
a
like
a douchebag.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a malicious person that would. I think it was, if I'm going to blame anyone, I'm not going to blame an individual at ESPN. I'm going to blame the organization because I don't care the victim's stance at that point. You didn't have to release what you released. All you could do is put a statement together to the owners of Major League Baseball stating a fact that you had proof and evidence that he just wasn't the guy to hire. That he had a past of misconduct and they didn't want to release anything because of it. Why then teams would at least be cautious and look into him a little more at the very least.
What is why would ESPN have take a vindictive approach towards Jarrett Porter? If you didn't want to release any specific type of information to protect this woman, why would ESPN put privately, I mean, these guys, these people that are in these positions of power to make hires on general managers have been in the game and know the way things are done. You know, they've been around long enough to know that ESPN is not calling them privately off the record to tell them that this guy's got skeletons in his past just to put out a hit on him for no reason.
Especially when he was a nobody. Like, especially when it's not like ESPN just doing this randomly with a bunch of different guys. This would be a case where they wouldn't really be questioned. And the owners, again, at the very least, would be cautious because they'd say, look, maybe they are sitting on something and I don't want to necessarily discriminate against the guy when I don't have proof of anything, but I'm also going to take this seriously and figure that if I give him a position of a higher power in my organization, that this story is going to end up coming out.
Right. Because then at least you can, you know, do a little bit more
it would have taken the blame off of ESPN.
Do a little bit more investigation even if you're like, I don't know why, you know, this sounds like bullshit, bring him in, but then take it another step further. You know, hey, Jarrett, we want to know, like, is there anything going to come out about you once we hire you?
Right.
And obviously he's probably going to lie about it and say, no, I'm a saint.
But
I'm
in that moment, you can read people. People who are doing these interviews hire people for a certain reason.
Yeah, but guys, don't you think if he was hired in December, you don't think that question was asked? In the culture we're in right now, you don't think they asked him, hey, Jared, is there anything we should know about?
No, but you're right. I do think that those questions are asked.
They vet these guys for hours. How long was Aaron Boone in an interview?
I agree with you on that. But if you had a direct story of something that was speculated or alleged story of him, you can ask a more direct question than, are there any skeletons in your closet that might come out? And instead be like, look, we have some information that a high-ranking organization, press media organization, has evidence of you, blah, 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 with another woman. Is this something that happened? If it is, then we're not going to hire you, but you need to be honest with us. And I mean, at that point, you can still put the blame back on the Mets for even considering a guy that could be true with. And at the very least, again, you're taking the blame off of ESPN and saying, well, the Mets had an idea. The Mets knew. We warned everyone that this was the case.
Look, you don't want to take away from what Jared Porter did. The guy's a piece of shit. He's fucking garbage, okay?
No, it's all on him. It's on him.
60 unanswered text messages. When do you get the point?
Yeah.
That's not just like, oh, I like her. I think she's, I want to take her on a date. It's just like, that is psychotic behavior.
Yes. That's what I was saying before. You just didn't get it. Like he clearly just didn't get it. He was someone who thought he was big and bad and invincible and just could kind of do and send whatever the fuck he wanted.
So, I mean, like, but again, you have the power. You're ESPN. You have the power to make sure this guy doesn't do this anymore. And you sit on it until it becomes until it becomes a story.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That's what bothers me about the reporting of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is that you can't sit on it. What if Jarrett Porter never became anybody in Major League Baseball?
Then hey, no one would care, so fuck it. We'll just let him off.
But what if he kept meeting women?
Yeah, exactly.
And kept doing this shit.
Exactly.
It's not okay.
No.
It's not okay. Look, fellas, if you need to hear this from me, if you need to actually hear this from me, please seek help. But if she doesn't ask to see it, she doesn't want to see it.
Agreed.
Okay? If that is the first time that thought has ever crossed your mind, please seek fucking help.
Well, the last thing we need
and more of is sexual predators.
Yeah.
So honestly, just remember, did she ask me?
Well, no.
Trust me, a woman will let you know when she wants something, especially when it comes to that. Okay. So you don't need, and I'm going to tell you this. I'm not the most debonair guy. I haven't been the most, Lothario or whatever you want to say. But I can tell you that 60 unanswered text messages is not an invitation to pull it out.
You definitely weren't popular in high school. Like, if you don't get the hint at that point. But, yeah. I mean, in the beginning, she does seem consensual, like she's into him. And then it comes out that like she really didn't understand the language 100% either. So yeah, now we're taking advantage of someone who doesn't fully understand how much of a douchebag you're trying to be at this point.
Yeah, it's just it's a fucked up story on a lot of different accounts. Like you got a guy who's a predator, he's a scumbag, showing his penis off. Again, allegedly it wasn't even his, according to him.
Yeah, like man up and send your actual
dick.
Like, or admit to it
like that. Like, let's honestly say that we believe him, even though we shouldn't, that he didn't send his actual junk to somebody, that he was Googling pictures of other guys.
I actually lose more respect for him at that
that's
point.
That's more creepy. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Now you're worried.
And then
now
you got worse. And then you got a major media outlet sitting on something. And this is what Carton's problem was. And I agree with him. Like, this is now a story to further your career.
Yep.
Instead of helping somebody.
Exactly. And that's a problem.
And Carton made a great point. He's like, and it was Mina Kimes' story, not Jeff Passan's, but Jeff Passan's the face of this. So now, instead of, you know, you want to promote women and being good to women, or, you know, I'm just lacking the proper terminology you're
empowering,
you're pushing a woman whose story this was to the side, right? And now the public face of this, right? So,
exactly.
I mean,
and maybe she didn't want to be a part of it. We don't know that shit either. That's why I respect Carton for it, and I loved his rant, but we don't know all the facts.
Her name was on the original story,
but so here's the thing. Okay. But here's the thing though. I like what Carton did because that should engage conversation. And if Passan has things to clear his name of this, he should go on the show and he should say them. But instead, he won't. He'll let it all go, and he'll eventually, ESPN will start, you know, discrediting Carton for what he's saying instead of opening dialogue and making things clear on how it all came out.
Right. So, I mean, again, It's just an unfortunate situation. You just hope that the woman who is the victim in all this, she's almost forgotten, because you have to take it because of the way ESPN handled this. I guess she's almost forgotten in all of this, but you just hope that she's able to get past it.
Yeah, because, she will be.
You know, you hope for her.
She's got it. If you don't ask for your pee pee, don't send it.
That's not something I ever want to find out about a woman that I love, that happened to them, because I'm not going to react kindly to it. Because you will probably have to Google pictures of somebody else's balls to know what balls look like at that point.
Yes.
All right. So we were having fun in episode 211.
Yeah, and then it just got dark. We got tired talking about dicks and balls.
I go down these rabbit holes of like these lists on BuzzFeed. It's like, you know,
some of them are
funny. I understand that, but some of them are actually kind of funny. And it's like 29 movies that the trailer misled you on. And it's like movies that are a lot darker than they seem to be. And I'm like reading, it's like, oh, it was a comedy, but then this guy had cancer and died 10 minutes into the movie. And it's like, that's what this episode was.
Yes. Yeah. It was like when someone made the Shining trailer a comedy. Did you ever see that? You have to YouTube that. Someone turned that's the Shining funny. Trailer, Shining, like made a fake Shining trailer.
It's but the Shining.
It's the Shining of like a comedy movie, like an upbeat family movie.
Did you ever see Click with Adam Sandler?
I love Click. It's one of my
favorite.
This
is like Sandler Click. This episode is like Click.
This episode is like Click. You think you're getting a classic Sandler movie, and then it just takes a fucking deep, dark
crying
turn.
Your eyes
and then
out.
You're just fucking dead at the end.
Dead. Larry King also passed
away. Larry King. Rest in peace.
Larry King.
Dude was old. Legend. Old. Yeah. Two legends died this week.
You know, they always say it comes in threes. Who's next?
Who's next?
No, you don't want to say that.
Who's next?
Jesus. Yeah, let's just keep getting darker, guys.
Seriously.
You want to get
let's
dark?
Just fucking end it, please. Let's end this.
We were going to talk about Brett Gardner, but I guess we could save that for next week.
Maybe he'll be on. Maybe we can get him on the show next week.
Oh, all right. I'll make some calls if you guys want
to. Definitely a possibility. So thank you for listening to episode 211 of the NYY Sports Talk podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at NYY Sports Talk. Stat Guy Rye, do you have anything to say? I felt like you were rather quiet today. Do you want to leave the audience parting words?
I want to say one thing. You two did a great job in this pod, dude.
Thanks, man. We let it rise like a good fine bread, and then we fucking squashed it right at the end.
I'm going to go in and finish watching The Godfather when I'm done with this.
Okay.
All right.
You know, then I'm going to get in trouble on Twitter for calling it overrated.
It is overrated.
I really, honestly, without getting too deep into it, it's a great movie. Overrated. Two is way better.
How do you think, Francis? Godfather was a great movie. Overrated. Two was better. Rest in peace.
Godfather 3 is actually my favorite.
Yeah, Godfather 3. Yeah.
Okay. Shit, yeah. My Francesa impression was off. It's a little off tonight. I haven't done it in a while.
I liked it.
It was solid. Okay. I'll give it a Corey Kluber of signings right there.
Okay. Mm. Wasn't great. It was wasn't as dominant. Okay. Wasn't as dominant an impression.
Okay. You imagine if Mike was around for when Jesus died? Okay. He's like, Son of God. Okay. He walked on water. Okay.
But I never saw him walk on water. Okay. Okay. That was a rumor.
Jews don't believe in him for a reason. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to take their side on this thing. Okay. All right.
Him is on holiday for what? What did he ever do?
You have a whole religion who doesn't even believe in him, okay?
Yeah, okay.
They only believe in his father.
But I love Christmas, not even a good holiday, okay? mediocre holiday. Thanksgiving, dominant holiday, okay?
All right, please, Jesus God.
All right. That's just what we were just talking about here.
Yeah.
So we're alienating everybody. We're saying, everyone. You know, yeah, everyone dude, is taking a hit today. You know, you think we made fun of the president. You think we made fun of God.
That's it.
You know what?
You're all go done.
Sit,
we're all
go
done.
Go sit on a fucking nail. Seriously.
We're done.
Right up your ass.
Yeah.
You can't have fun on this show and you can't have fun anywhere.
I agree.
All right. Thank you for listening to episode 211. Please follow us on Twitter at NYY Sports Talk. Stat Guy Rye.
Go Yanks.
Chris, say goodbye.